Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Is the Wealth Club.
Okay.
This is Glenn Greenidge, your host, and I've got joining me Bill Patterson from the Padet Group.
All right.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
How you doing? Good,
hello,
good,
Glenn.
Good, good.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing great. Welcome to the show.
Okay.
So what we're going to do, the first thing I'm going to start is I want to let folks know who the International Black Summit is. I'm going to start by reading the declaration. The declaration for the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we're responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. And all over the world, today, the 13th of January.
Okay.
Welcome to the call.
Okay, very good.
And we also have Rosemary Blake that's joining the call.
Okay.
Welcome
Hi,
to the call.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. I'm well.
Good, good.
Are you guys?
Good. I'm
doing
good.
Better. Doing better. I have to keep breathing, but I'm doing well now.
Very good.
So our topic for tonight is going to be investing, and we're going to start out. Well, why don't the two of you introduce yourselves? So say a little bit about yourselves and what PADEG is, and before we get started.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary first, please.
Oh, great. I thought I would get to figure it out from what Bill said. I'm Rosemary Blake. I live in New York. I'm a facilitator of the International Black Summit. And my understanding is this is part of the summit, the International Black Summit Network on Blog Talk Radio. In addition to that, I'm one of the founding members of PADEG, or otherwise known as the People of African Descent Empowerment Group of New York Limited Partnership, which is an investment partnership. As an investment partnership, we've been together about since May. Actually, it was the year before. Since about January of 98. So it's been in existence for almost 11 years. And I also work as an executive director of a pension fund. How's
right.
that?
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bill Patterson?
Okay, good. I'm Bill Patterson, just heard. I'm a member of PADEG. I've been a member. I was one of the founding members of the PADEG. I've been there as long as Rosemary and Glenn. I'm also from the International Black Summit since 1992. I've been a facilitator almost most of that time. In the PDAG, I'm on the training and education team along with Glenn, and we do training, of course. But at the moment, we also are looking at setting up investment clubs in the community. we started with a club with my family, and Glenn and I participate in that. I don't know what else to say about it, about
well,
myself right now.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we're here tonight to talk about and to get the conversation going is around investing and what is it to invest. And so let's start with the definition of investing or to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And invest is a verb and is to put money to use by purchase or expenditure in something offering potential profit. Profitable returns as interest, income, or appreciation in value.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you guys about that? What have you noticed about investing? Because I know one of the things that PDEG
mm-hmm.
talks a lot about is investing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that sounds like a dictionary definition, you know, and I guess it is. I see investing as basically as predicting the future. It's a predictive game, attempting to guess or figure out how the market is going to act and betting on that, putting money and risking money that it'll go the way you would like it to go. So I really, as a like a distinction, I think of it as a prediction,
okay.
Future prediction.
Okay. And I think it's important for our listeners out there to understand and know that it is also something to do with a bet. So it's not promised, it's not guaranteed. An investment...
Right.
There's some inherent risk about that.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Whenever I think about this, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a newspaper that says the end of the financial world as we know it. And that's, I read the article and that's like saying the predicting that we've done or people have done this in this current crisis has failed. Right? So
say some more about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's an implication here, the end of financial world as we know it. That's the headline. And if we look at the current crisis that the country is in, you know, the subprime stuff and all that, the science that we have called the science of predicting the market is up for grabs. I mean, we're no longer sure what that is.
Okay. Okay.
Apparently, we don't know all the answers. If this can happen, if this is really happening, and it is.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. That's good. Just before I go to you, Rosemary, I just want to let folks know this is the International Black Summit Wealth Club. We actually are just getting started. We were actually on schedule on Central Time, so we actually started at 6:30. Anyone holding on for the last segment? The last segment is actually going to be at 7:30, from 7:30 to 8 for the open announcements. Rosemary,
Two things came up for me as I was listening to Bill. You know, Bill always has a very unique take on any given subject. The first thing that occurred to me is that one of the things that showed up for me as we were exploring in the partnership, as we were exploring investing, is that although the dictionary definition refers to money, for me what showed up was a willingness to back, support, place time, energy, and or money into those things that I believe in or are passionate about in order to get a return. And the return could come in the form of money, but the return could also come in the form of satisfaction in the growth and development of a something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what seems to be a element of investing is looking now and a willingness to place whatever the thing is, and let's stick with money for the moment, now in something that you expect to grow such that you will receive a return on it. And I'm saying, and what the thing for me to add is that the return could be money, usually is money, but is not limited to money.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's very good. One of the definitions that I looked up was to use, give, or devote, and in parentheses it has time, talent, etc., as devote for a purpose,
mm-hmm.
or to achieve something. So that's kind of what you're talking about is
mm-hmm.
you're investing something, your time, your energy, your knowledge, with a payoff on the other end.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Can I add something there? I think maybe we ought to include here the word risk and all that implies. And this investing thing, it's judging, trying to guess the future is always a risk. Nobody actually knows the future, you know. So it's about stepping out into the void, kind of, and doing something, expecting something to happen. It by necessity, investing is riskful. I mean, there's no risk-free investing. So the person or the people or the group doing the risking have to look to see how they are about risking. We all don't have risk at the same rate or level. So This investing thing requires that. It requires one to look to see how much one is willing to risk stepping into an unknown, you know,
So if I get this right, you're pointing to what they call risk tolerance.
Risk what?
Tolerance. So that
risk tolerance, right, yes.
So different people have different levels of tolerance.
Right. You know, people want security, want to be safe, or some more than others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So those people may only risk a little bit. They won't venture anything except a small amount of something. Nothing, you know, that expression, nothing venture, nothing gain. Investing requires... Well, this adventuring, you know, it means stepping out there. And maybe the more you, if you can tolerate the risk, you might be able to give yourself the chance to be a successful investor, I think.
Well, you know, one of the things that comes to mind, and
kind of an opinion, but.
Yeah, one of the things that comes to mind that we haven't talked about Mm-hmm. And I often think about is investing in the community, you know,
right.
And my time, my talent, my whatever doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to produce the result that I'm looking to produce in the community. And so, of course, again, that's the risk that's involved, but it's also am I willing to do that and maybe not get a return?
Right. Yes.
You know?
I will venture to say you will get a return, but what you may not get is the expected return.
Okay, good. Okay,
right.
Good. Very good. Very good. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Now, I'm actually going to swing the conversation a little bit in the direction, and let's focus investing for now on money, stocks, mutual funds, real estate, and business. What would you say are the common factors when you're that you would relate to investing in all of the above mentioned money, stock, mutual funds, real estate, and businesses? Are there any common factors that you would point to?
I'm sure they are.
I can come up with a couple.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So whatever it is, whatever the vehicle is, I mean, it has a value. Now, whether or not there's agreement about the value is something else, but it all has a value. And it all has an expected return on any investment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they all have a way where you can evaluate what those things are, what the value is, because we're assuming these are all profit-making ventures, what the values are, what the fundamentals are for the vehicle, you know, what does it own, how is it selling whatever it's selling, what is the profit on it,
okay,
you know, what is there are all of the investment terms, and they differ depending upon the vehicle, I think you have a sense of what I'm talking about in terms of the fundamentals. I mean, whatever they are, they're going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they also have in common is that there's a way to evaluate it to determine whether or not it's a sound business entity in the first place. And then, you know, whether or not you see that it's on an upward slope growth curve with the possibility, you know, they all have management, so that there's a possibility for a profit or not.
Well, you know, you said you hit on something there, and that's the return on your investment, right? I think that's what you're pointing to.
Yeah, ROI, sure. It's one of them.
And that's an indicator of the growth of that particular investment. So you're able to track different variables, a return on investment ROI being one of them, and that's a way of comparing investments, or one way of comparing investments, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
No, I'm just trying to add something. I think they all require analysis, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, different kinds of analysis. You might approach them with, these are different strategies.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So your
approaches.
Because for example, real estate, you can't just get the money. You have to wait. There's a process. You have to make a sale.
Right.
So whereas a stock or a mutual fund, Mm-hmm. You can, you know, basically you can turn in the money and get the money that day or, you know, the next day or something.
Well, I think you're saying something important, too. There. Some of these categories, these equities, are long-term. I mean, you cannot get your money, you know, if you after getting your money, you may not do certain kinds of stocks. I mean, you might do the day trading or something if you need that kind of immediate cash, immediate access. That's one of the differences in these areas, you know, availability of your money if you ever needed it. It doesn't come easily with certain
No, I got you.
Go
ahead, Rosemary.
If I can say it a slightly different way, in terms of your question, is what are common factors?
Mm-hmm.
All of the different kinds of investment vehicles you talked about, and this is, I think, what Bill is pointing to, all have different liquidity characteristics.
Okay, mm-hmm. Liquidity, okay.
Yeah, right. Some, you know, you can put your money in today and take it out next week. You know, that's, you know, common
mm-hmm.
stock funds and things like that. Real estate,
mm-hmm.
businesses, and, you know, a host of others that you haven't mentioned. You put your money in, you got to be really clear that you may not be able to take out the principal, much less anything else, for, you know, 5 years. So
mm-hmm.
that's certainly one of the things that they all have in common is liquidity characteristics, and that's one of the many things you've got to evaluate when you're looking at investing.
So we talked about liquidity. We talked about risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other things that you can think of that would that are important to it from an investor's point of view they're looking for vehicles?
Yeah, you. I think who is the investor, you know, and what are they after? Why are they here investing? What is their motivation to begin with? You know, is it greed, or is it you know, they want to retire and have a nest egg, or is it long term? You know. They just want to accumulate some money to, for current use. I think the person that the motivation of the investor is almost basic, I think, to everything here, because who he is or who she is determines what they will do or the way they will play this game.
Gotcha.
You know?
So the different criteria and different requirements and different liquidities and risk, and
right.
all of that has to be prioritized for the investor before they pick out what investment that they would want to activate. Okay.
Yeah, we had a group of people who some people want money quickly, and others of us are willing to wait 10 years or so, we're going to be at odds with each other. I mean, we're hardly going to have a consensus, I don't think, or alignment. You know, we might, but, you know, that could be one of the problems.
One of the areas when you're of different requirements, looking for different requirements.
Yeah, different. We're after different things, you know.
Well, let me ask you this question. What's a portfolio, and why is that important?
Well, what comes to my mind is diversification. Portfolio just rings like you have all your investments.
So you're saying that even though I'm the same person, I may have different requirements for different things that I would put in my portfolio?
I guess that could be so, yeah.
This mentioned diversification.
A belief, assumption out here, I think, among pundits, that we are that investing. One ought to diversify. Diversification is like one of the truths or something that some people say, you know.
And that's to what? What's the reason for diversifying?
Well, in case one area or one sector fails, you can still have the other sectors, you know. I'm just reading an article about somebody who's talking about treasures, securities nowadays seem to be the same thing rather than bonds. But it used to be that people would put something in bonds and something in treasury notes or whatever, and in various industries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, health industry and energy, you know, they would diversify in case problems or down recessions or whatever, I forget what the word is, but occur in any of these particular sectors. So it's a way of protecting yourself by diversifying.
Okay.
What was the question?
You mentioned a couple of things in there, and different areas that you were looking at.
Oh,
you know, bonds,
okay.
and this treasury. Well, how do I get myself trained? What's the process?
Okay. Well, since we're on the training team, I think you and I ought to know. I ought to know how to do that. Well, how do we get ourselves trained? I think the first thing is to gather some people together who say that they want to do this and have them understand exactly what they're doing, that they're betting money, and that maybe it should be money that's bettable. I mean, do you know what I mean? You should not be your rent money and food money or anything like that. It should be money that you have available. And then you gather and discuss goals, some kind of goals, or which way you want to go. And there should be some sort of consensus. And then you should look for, I would say, which is what we did, is look for training. Since the field is so complex and so full of pundits and knowledgeable people, and you don't, half the time, if I were new entering the field, I would not know whom to believe and which way to go. What we did and what I would suggest is a new group, find somebody like NAIC, National Association of Investment. What's the C stand for? I don't remember.
Like a corporation.
Whatever. This is an organization that whose specific purpose is to help people to create investment clubs, and they give them some tools. Some basic tools, or they make available some basic tools and training that can get them started in learning, you know, the vocabulary, the language of investing, and they give them a technique for evaluating stocks that the people may like. And then someplace along the way, you might venture into actually buying something just to start, and like that. But there should always be a continual training thing going along, I would say. You know, there's so much to know and to learn. And yet there are some basic things that that need to be pointed out, I think, what they call fundamentals. We need the new people need to know what those things are.
So you would recommend NAIC because it's an investment club. And
yeah, I would recommend NAIC
methodology
or something similar, some entity that's sympathetic to people who are starting out and
who are new to the game, huh?
Yeah, new to the game. Yeah, you know. Doesn't have to be NAIC, but almost anybody will do to get you into the field. And you step carefully at the beginning, you know, and until you become more sophisticated, and you can become until you learn enough to become even more creative, ultimately.
I've got a slightly different cut.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big lover of the technology. I mean, you know, Google is one of my favorite. And anytime I want to know anything about anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just a word where I go to a dictionary, I Google. I love the ability to just put in just a few words and get, mm-hmm. you know, more information than I'm even interested in trying to digest, but it's all accessible. So you know, one of the things I would say is that information in this day and age is so available. So the first thing that I would say for anyone who is interested in investing is like to do a preliminary search, some reading to see what it is that strikes your fancy. I mean, you know, you know if you're interested in land or houses or, you know, buildings, i.e. real estate, or whether the market is of interest to you. So, you know, see what's available on that. That's that would be the first step, is to identify your interests and just start getting some information on that. One of the things that was really, really both useful and fun and educational for us was having a group to do this,
mm.
do the learning with,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
PDEC has been just an extraordinary place to learn and discover who I am about this whole realm of investing. And I love our purpose, both the vision, which is one community profoundly related, financially free. That's what we want to see for ourselves in the world. But also our purpose was to create a major shift in our conversation about finance, money, and abundance,
mm-hmm.
To enrich ourselves and utilize our resources to seek out businesses in the community to support, to have breakthroughs. So we actually got together and did our individual exploration inside of this as a context. So it has been as much about educating ourselves as it has been about enriching ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to use each other. You know, one person has an interest in real estate, one person has an interest in businesses, someone else has an interest in something else, so that we wound up being able to create some diversification as a group. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
it is really valuable getting yourself together with like-minded beings to expand on your growth and development in any area, but certainly investing is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I like what you just said. I like the idea that we had a vision, that statement that you just spoke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, that was powerful. I mean, that that was truly a motivation for me to even be in the bodega. So if people have a common vision like that, or are willing to work on realizing it, I think that's
yeah.
basic, even.
Well, there's a couple things I want to say about that real quick. And that is that PDEG really came together with a vision of getting into this financial world. And so it was very easy as a group to organize ourselves and gravitate to that conversation. So that was, that for me helped to make it a very easy transition for us to be in investment hub and partnership together.
Mm-hmm.
This is Blog Talk Radio Wealth Club. I'm the host, and I have special guests today, Rosemary Blake and Bill Patterson from People of African Descent Empowerment Group of New York Limited Partnership, which is an investment group, and we're talking about investing, and we're actually moving into segment two, which is the managing your money. We're part of the International Black Summit. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. We invite you to go take a look at the website and see some of the other events and activities that we're up to. Segment three will be the open segment. We got I sent out a couple of flyers, and I was had the wrong time, the start time. So we actually started at 6:30, and we're getting ready. We're part of segment two now, and segment three will be the open segment, which will start at 7:30. For those of you waiting for that segment. So what does it mean to manage your money? Now that we've made all these great investments.
To manage your money.
Well, actually, it's before you make all these great investments.
good. Okay. Say some more about that, please.
Oh, it's like, you know, how are you even going to know if or what you can invest if you aren't engaged in a process where you manage your money? You know, it's like, how do you determine what you can afford, to use Bill's phrase, to put in the game if you don't know what you have?
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So really, managing your money has to come first, so that you now have yourself organized in a way that you've got money to invest. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
How do you
do that?
Would you happen to have a dictionary definition of management by any chance?
Well, stand by, my good friend here. Let me see what I could do. As we're looking for that, Rosemary?
What? Yes.
I just know that you have something to say about this.
You're hoping, huh? No, I'm not sitting near my dictionary. You know,
You're not sitting on your dictionary. Oh, shut up.
I mean, one of the things that always amazes me is that, you know, people will manage their love lives, their careers, their, you know, their children, their
mm-hmm.
spouses, and think that the money part of their life will just happen on its own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is something that they don't want to even get involved in because, you know, money is evil, it's not spiritual,
mm-hmm.
yada, 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 all of that stuff. It just
yeah.
Completely and totally amazes me. But, you know, there's a lot of support for that in this culture. A lot of opinions on the matter of what money is and what money isn't, and there are as many attitudes about or toward money as there are people walking on the planet. So, But I am of the opinion that, you know, money is something, it's certainly a resource.
I want
to know about.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of definitions.
Okay.
To bring about or succeed in accomplishing, sometimes despite difficult or hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And then this says, she managed to see the governor. How does she manage it on such a small income? Now, the second is to take charge or care of, to manage my investments.
Right.
Now, that's what it says specifically, right?
Okay. Do you remember Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Sure.
That people live, live for money. No. Let me get this right. If you live money, you live at the effect of money rather than the opposite. Managing money and making the money work for you. Oh, you work for the money rather than
having the money work.
Money
for
work
you.
For you. Doesn't that sounds to me like something that might fit here with management. That's why I want to know what managed means. What you just said sounds like proactive action, you know, doing something active, you know, to create something, to control it, to move it, make it do things that you want it to do. There are other ways. The other way of being about that is to being at the effect of it. You know, we are at the effect of other people's money. We can be bought. We lay back and wait for it to come. We don't look to create it or look for opportunities to create it. You know, we want somebody else to give it to us. All of that, I think, may be in this thing, managing money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we go on, I just want to acknowledge we have a couple listeners on the line.
Okay.
A 219 area code and an 856 area code. Thanks for listening in.
Okay.
This is Blog Talk Radio, Wealth Club. I'm the host, Glenn Greenidge, and we have today Rosemary Blake and Bill Patterson from PADEG, People of African Descent Empowerment Group of New York Limited Partnership,
mm-hmm.
which is an investment group. And we're in the segment of managing your money.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly there's the managing aspect, and what does it mean to manage, and how do you manage? What kind of skills do you need? I'm going to direct this one to you, Rosemary.
Skills. What kind of skills?
And you all should know out there that Rosemary, to me, is the goddess of managing money. And she is the one that I look to when I am clueless about managing my money or ways of managing my money or creating money.
Mm.
So what,
right.
what kind of skills do you need, Rosemary?
Okay, so what kind of skills do you need? I'm not sure I've ever thought of them as skills, but, well, first of all, you've got to have a commitment to knowing what is so, you know, like what the real deal is. There are lots of people who, A, don't know how much money is coming in or how much is going out, or what it's going out for. So
So you're talking about tracking.
Basically, part of it can look like tracking, but part of it, because for me it's more than just the mechanicals, it's the attitude. It's like, so what I'm really referring to is a interest and a willingness to know what is so, and to be with what is. And for most For a lot of people, it's bad news. You know, it sounds like this is a very simple thing, but getting beyond that, given all the attitudes and all of the energy there is around money, lots of folks don't get to that. I mean, every month they're surprised. It's like, you know, I love being surprised too, but that's not one of the surprises I enjoy. You know, when the inflow happens not to be less than the outflow. Surprise! It happened another month, you know, like that. So, you know, the first thing there is you need is a willingness to be with what's really going on. And then you need to have some kind of way to actually keep track of, document whatever this thing is. And then, you want to have some goals. And you want to use something like a budget to enable you to the budget is actually a tool that supports you in whatever it is you then decide you're up to.
Mm-hmm.
And folks have lots of stuff about budgets too, but it's like, as a human being, you couldn't move around without your skeleton. And the budget kind of can be seen as that kind of support for moving from where you are to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that it occurs to me is it doesn't occur as something that constricts or confines, but it's a tool that will actually allow you some freedom.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. You know, if in fact you use it.
I'm actually going to open up the listener lines and see if there are any questions on anything that we've discussed so far.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, area code 209. You're on the air. Hello? Area code 209?
Do you mean area code 219?
Sorry, 219, correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I was interested in basically what Rosemary was talking about the budget. I've never heard it explained like that.
Okay.
And
okay,
so,
what's your name, sir?
My name is Chuck Macklin.
Hi, Chuck.
And
welcome.
Yeah, I think I'm married to somebody that you may know. She used to be Benita Johnson. She used to be Benita Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I know
the
Rosemary.
Other goddess.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was, you know, I've been listening and I'm interested in growing wealth I've never been too involved with budgets, but the way that Rosemary explained the budget, you know, I could, I think I could see how I could use a budget in order to, manage, our finances, Benita and I are managing our finances. So that was the part that gave me the most interest so far.
Well, you know, one of the things that came to mind for me, when Rosemary was talking about budgeting, is that I always had a budget, it was set, and it wasn't flexible, and you don't make any adjustments. And I don't know where I got that from, but when, you know, I talked with Rosemary about, well, you know, my budget's not working, or, you know, well, you got to adjust it. You know, you can't just make
mm-hmm.
a budget and then assume that it's, you know, that it's perfect. And a budget is really a work in progress. So that's the thing that I became present to in this conversation.
You know,
well, that's another aspect that kind of helps out because, you know, she hadn't said that yet. So that would also be helpful to me too.
Great.
You know, I always thought that a budget requires
picture on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, focus. You know, I mean, once you have a budget, I mean, you have to conscious, go up front someplace and stay focused on it when you when these other things that are off budget appear. Keep your attention on what you're supposed to be doing. I find that's probably where I go off personally. So I think focus is very important, for me.
Good.
You know, that's good that you that you said that, Bill, because when you get really masterful with budgeting, there is nothing that's off budget. It's all included. You know? I mean, if you can envision that for a moment.
All right.
That's good. 856, yeah. Welcome to the line.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How's it going? Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited about being on the show, and it's hearing your friend talk about money and the different types of investments.
One of the things that I want to talk about is
Glenn, who is that?
That's Clara.
Clara.
one of the things that I want to talk about that was very inspirational for me is how much time do you need to spend per day, per week, etc.
I'm laughing because I don't know what the answer for that would be, and I guess that depends upon the individual. But one of the things that Glenn kind of pointed out to me, we were talking about something or other, and completely and totally off the cuff, no significance at all. I mentioned to him that I work all day, I come home, I turn on my computer. And in turning on the computer, one of the two things I do or did at that particular point was to open up my Excel spreadsheet and check out the finances. And then later it became open up the Quicken program to check out the finance. But, that was just part of the ritual. And he looked at me and he said, "You do that every day?" Kind of went, yeah. And in that moment, I could see that it had never occurred to him to look at his finances on a daily basis. Now, I'm not saying one needs to do that. I just have been in the habit over the years of doing that. So there is, although there's not a specific time to do it, there is some, whether it's every week, every 2 weeks, every whatever it is, there's a point at which you need to set aside some time to put some attention on this, just the way you set aside some time to, do your toilet. And you get to decide what it is, but you got to do it. It's like it doesn't run on its own. It needs maintenance.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that comes to mind for me is a practice. And anything that you practice, the more you practice, the easier it becomes. And one of the things I noticed, because what it was for me, was that 15-minute-a-day conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was clear is that Rosemary spends at least 15 minutes a day, looking at her finance, checking on things, and maybe just, it's not necessarily doing anything, but maybe it's just kind of being with it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Much of the time, that's all it is, because there's nothing to do.
And the thing that I looked at for myself was I spend 15 minutes in the garden in the summertime. And there's always something to do, a little weeding, a little this, moving this over. And my gardens usually turn out pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I related that to the financial conversation, and I noticed that I wasn't spending 15 minutes a day looking at my finances. Mm-hmm. Ergo, what would I expect?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Kind of, it's like, well, wait a minute, there's kind of a correlation here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you're pointing to is you spend what you spend time nurturing and develop is likely to grow, and you know, it's what you put your attention on is what shows up in life. Your garden, my portfolio. Okay.
Well, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about, I mean, you know, we talked a little bit, we talked about budgeting, we talked about a process, we talked about a tracking system, and we talked about repetitive, you know, checking. Or
practices.
You know, practices. So these are all parts of what's going to have it, you know, be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, is there anything else that you guys see about managing money?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that came up for me is after you actually look to see what's so, there's also, all right, so that's what's so. How is that a match for what I want to create, my objective, what I'm looking for? And that's when, for me, the fun part comes in, because it's like, there has to be some priorities. Mm. And the priorities are so an individual thing. And it's an individual if you're the only one you're talking about, but it could be a family thing, it could be a couple thing. And that process actually requires input from everybody that's involved, so that what you do is you wind up setting up some priorities for those things that are important, and then you just allocate the resources toward that. You know, is saving and investing important to you? Is having some money down the line when you expect no longer to be working, is that important to you? Is it important, you know, that you have the latest car or the latest furniture or an abundance of, you know, it's there's like not a right and wrong in it, but it does pay to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then create the structure, which I call the budget, or managing your money resources so that you can fulfill on that. I mean, why would you not do that?
Good. That's great. So what you're pointing to is you've got a vision for yourself, your life, in the area of finances, as in other areas. Then you set up some goals and objectives that you can measure yourself against to see how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
As it matches up with the vision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, you know, that for me is a magical process. You know, there's the other magic, like waving a wand and wishing, but this is also a magical process.
Absolutely. Well, good. Excellent. Anything else?
The other thing is, you know, there are all kinds of software out there that can support you in both the process of knowing your what's so and keeping track of what you're creating. You know, as I said earlier, you know, I love spreadsheets. First of all, I love numbers. So I love spreadsheets, and then I get a number of years back, I discovered the Quicken programs, and they keep putting more bells and whistles on it to make things to make things easier. So it doesn't even have to be difficult.
Mm.
And, you know, you don't have to have a special aptitude. You know, you don't have to be a mathematical genius, because I'm certainly not that. And there's a lot out there that could support you in the manifestation.
So you said spreadsheets?
Spreadsheets will do it.
QuickBooks.
You know, there's Quicken. There's QuickBooks. More. That's more for businesses. I think there's money. There are a number of financial software. You know. Back in the good old days, I used to start out with a Word document that had a column. A column for that identified the whatever it was, the income and that, and another column for the expenses, and then a column where I put numbers in by hand in a 3-ring binder.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as simple or as sophisticated as you desire it to be. So there's like, you know, the thing, I don't have a computer is not an excuse not to create this for yourself.
Mm.
Great. Well, one of the things that I want to share about is the fact that PADEG, People of African Descent Empowerment Group, has enabled me to really look at and inquire into what it is to invest, what it is to manage my money, what it is to seek financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, what does it take? What do I have to do? What am I committed to? What are my actions consistent with that? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Anything else for you, Mr. Bill?
No,
around
I'm
managing
listening
money?
Very carefully. I'm very interested in what Rosemary's saying about the budget and whatnot. And what keeps popping in my head is I can plan everything, but there's this moment of actually doing it, you know, actually sitting down and putting the figures in, or not spending that money because it's not included in the budget. There's a quality of character.
Quality of character.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I mean, you know, like, but I'm confessing, you know. I'm confronted with a choice.
Wait, do I have to go in a booth here?
No, seriously. I have beautiful budgets and things, you know, and I make my thing up once a month. I pay bills and whatnot, and that's at one point when I know how my budget is going to turn out. And I know I've got a certain amount for this, and this.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, I get to the point where I'm confronted with following the budget or going off and enjoying myself, have the extra piece of cake or something, you know. And oftentimes the budget disappears in my moment, and I go for the cake or the thing that I shouldn't do. I go to the movie or go to the theater or something. I don't stay focused on what I'm doing. You know, the budget sometimes is not that alive in my moment, in my present moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I struggle with.
Gotcha. I hear you.
Well, you know, so the other thing for me is then you have it yet create a budget that includes it all.
That's good. That it does not include at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you still have some growth in the area of creating your budget then.
Right. Yeah. That's very good.
Okay. And so there's a certain level of mastery, and the mastery comes when you can that nothing is outside of your budget.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You know, because aside from everything else, is like I was just trying to see where I am now. I don't really have a written budget the way, you know, I thought about budgets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at this point, I kind of know what the numbers are. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're always there for me. I know what the numbers are. You know, I had this real epiphany. I guess it was about 6 or 7 years ago. I love jewelry, as you two know. I love jewelry, and I was tired of feeling guilty. I guess that's it. Yeah, feeling guilty or going through changes. If I saw something that I was madly in love with, wanted to have,
mm-hmm.
and so usually bought, you know. But then it was all of the stuff that goes with it that I'd always process myself through it, but it was like, who needs this? So I don't know if I had a line in my budget for jewelry, but I know I put one in, and I put a really healthy number next to it. And I have never exceeded that number, which means, you know, now when I go and I see that thing, there's no stuff.
You have the room to include it.
Absolutely.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's great.
No suffering.
See, actually, budgets can eliminate suffering if you allow it to.
If you allow it to. Now, see, I'm not there yet. Okay.
Oh, well, neither am I. And I love that. Budgets can eliminate suffering.
Suffering. That's great. That's a great tip in managing your money.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we've got another guest on the line, and I wanted to acknowledge 347-866. You're on the line.
347.
And we're beginning to wrap up our segment two. We went a little over, and so segment three. Oh, I must have scared them. They're gone. We're pretty much done with this segment. Let me just go around and find out Bill, anything else for you?
No, I thought I did, but I don't see. I don't. No, ask me again.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Rosemary, thank you for really distinguishing mastery. Is there any other pearls that you would want to leave with us?
The only thing that comes up for me is like I am committed to experiencing freedom in as many aspects of my life as possible, and this is one of the ways I do that. You know, around as certainly in the area of finances.
Okay.
You know, what I wish for myself is what I wish for my family and my community and, you know, my world. We should all have freedom in this area.
Good. And I've got one last question. What has PDEG provided each of you?
Partnership. It has been such a marvel to actually have a group of committed partners who were up to what I'm up to, or even if it wasn't exactly the same thing, it didn't make any difference. It's because what each person brought made the whole a bigger and richer whole. It's been wonderful having people that I can rely on, because if I'm interested in one thing and I'm not interested in research and development, there is someone in the group whose passion is research and development, and so I could focus on the things that I was really interested in and love doing. And it's also been, it's been fabulous not knowing and learning together and having a space where my ignorance was valued, because it was going to point to the next thing it was for us to tackle. So it's been extraordinary. It's absolutely been extraordinary. And also to have cheerleaders, people yaying me on as I had the breakthroughs, as I fulfilled on our purpose moment by moment in terms of having major shifts occur in my conversation about money, finance, and abundance. It's been a growthful experience that I cannot imagine would have occurred without the partners.
Very good. Very good. Mr. Bill Patterson, what has Badeg provided you?
Like Rosemary, partnership, but also our vision, it has given me a way of accessing my spirituality that I yearned for, and like in the real world, participating in PADEG, I have been one of those people who thought money was dirty, and you know, I had people like me don't do that. It showed me a way. It shows me a way of being in relationship with my community in a way that I thought wasn't even possible. You know, an active way of participating with my community. You know, my family, my just the community at large. I think we have the vehicle to do that, that will permit a person like me to do that and still be in the world, you know, dealing with the chaos and the stuff that is there. I don't know whether that makes any sense at all, but this is a vehicle for me that gives me a particular kind of transformation, and I learn, and I have epiphanies all the time when I realize the possibility of having, you know, money and having what you want and still be responsible to the other and not just to myself. This is not a egotistical thing for me. So that but that makes is a vehicle for me to sail into that kind of stuff.
To explore that without having it be about negative or bad.
Right.
Okay.
Can I ask a couple questions?
Sure. Please.
My questions are for Rosemary. Rosemary, when you say that you look at your finances, you know, almost on a daily basis, are you looking at your, say, your stock portfolio? Or just exactly what are you looking at?
I have all of my financial information in Quicken. So,
okay.
So I pretty much every day, it's not a rule, but it's just pretty
mm-hmm.
much when I turn on the computer, I look at something in Quicken. So what I can this particular version of Quicken has a panel on the side, and it lists every account that I have up there, and
mm-hmm.
at the bottom of it, it has the total value. So
okay.
I can see on a glance all everything that's in what I will call my portfolio and what
mm-hmm.
the bottom line is. And then, you know, if I choose to, I can go in and look at them. As an investor, I
mm-hmm.
don't do a day-by-day looking at the value of, say, stocks and bonds, because
mm-hmm.
that for me feels like a real roller coaster ride. Because
mm-hmm.
up and they go down, and like lately they've been doing a lot of going down. So I'm not really interested in that. I do that on a especially with what I call my long term investments. I may only look
mm-hmm.
at them twice a year,
okay.
but that's because I've done some of the work in making sure that that's what is appropriate for what I want out of that vehicle. So once I've done that and once I've invested, I don't look at it regularly because I'm not interested in the market ups and downs. I'm just interested in where the market is when I want to take money out. There's a little tension, and it just kind of depends on what's going on any given day. But mostly it's the overview.
It's the bank accounts. And do you look at like your charge cards, your credit cards?
I have all of my bank accounts, all of my bank accounts. Yeah, I like the way that sounds. So I have all of my bank accounts up. I have you know, the two credit cards. I essentially download I don't even enter that stuff anymore. I download the information from the websites to it once a month. And then I also have, you know, like a 401k, so I have that information that's up there. I've got the PDEG portfolio, all of it. I actually chose this particular version because it allows you to also track your investments.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is in one snapshot place. So cool.
Then I have one more question
mm-hmm.
for Rosemary. And that question is that you seem to have a different idea of budgeting than anyone I've ever talked to or listened to or whatever,
mm-hmm.
a very healthy concept of budgeting. So I'd like to know, how did that come about? Did you read about it? Did you just figure it out on your own? So how did that happen?
How did that happen? I'm not quite sure. I think one of the things, you know, Chuck, is I've always been interested in money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you explore the things you're interested in. And the other thing that you may or may not know about me is that for more years than I can begin to count, I have been in what I call stewardship relationships for money. You know, I manage a pension fund now. I did years ago as well. When I get together with groups, I frequently wind up as the treasurer. You know, so there's a particular relationship. So I guess I was thrown to play around with numbers as they relate to organizations, but then also to my life. And it was just an exploration that had me comes to how budgeting or how playing, because I'm sure I wasn't calling it budgeting then, how playing around with numbers could support me and what I was up to.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm going to share a little bit about what PDEG has been for me. PDEG has been, it has been a partnership, a relationship, a nurturing, a way of investigating, a way of finding out and relying on partners to see what I don't see, to support me in my training and development. Because there's a particular viewpoint that Rosemary has and a particular viewpoint that Bill has that is different than where I'm looking from. And so the collective of, you know, Oren and the whole group, we have a wide span, and that wide span, I say, allows us and me particularly to be able to include and to embrace different perspectives that I didn't necessarily have as an individual. And I get to participate with partners who are like-minded, who have my back, who are able to, you know, hey, Glenn, listen, there's a hole coming. Don't trip. You know, that kind of thing. So it's been very uplifting. It's been very supportive. It's been very nurturing. It's been very exciting. You know, that's the other thing. It's been very, very exciting for me to participate and to, you know, play, literally playing. So that's, you know, that's what I want to say about PDEG.
Sounds like a wonderful place to hang out.
Yes, it is. I'm just sad that it only happens once a month. I've been working towards that, but I haven't gotten there yet to be able to create that. Well, maybe the show might be a way of doing that—a biweekly show. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah, especially since I won't have to create a report for it.
Numbers and all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Chuck, is there anything else for you?
No, that's it.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the call. And let me just do a little, as they say, housekeeping. So I want to let you all know this is the International Black Summit. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. We've got lots of events coming up. This August, our annual event is going to be in London, England. And you can register online. The next show that we will be hosting, will be Clara Lyons. Will be she'll be in Washington D.C. and she's going to be looking to she's going to be doing like a roving reporter and to find out and looking for people to share what this election has been for them, how they've been inspired by it. And, you know, what are you inspired to change, given that's Obama's, you know, tagline. So that's going to be the show this Sunday, and it's going to be out of D.C., as I said. And then that's the 18th. And then the following Sunday, the 25th, we'll have Man of the Month. I'll be hosting that show as well. That's on Sunday at 8 p.m. All the Sunday shows are at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll have J. Kenneth Young, and we'll be sharing about how basically I'm going to be talking about he and I's relationship, how we met, how the summit became both of our conversations and sort of exploring what it is to be a man in the summit. So that's going to be pretty exciting on the 25th. And let's see. Those are the main things. I'm actually going to invite Rosemary and Bill to share about the annual summit annual event. Bill, what would you like to say about the summit annual event since you've been to more than one?
Well, I mean, just for me, powerful. I've been using this word. I've heard this word used, epiphany, tonight. You know, it's all epiphany, breakthrough, insight. It takes me into spaces that I didn't know even existed in my own mind and in other people's being. Into a kind of intimacy with everyone. Powerful stuff.
Okay. Thank you. What about you, Rosemary?
You know, what occurs to me, Glenn, is, I mean, the summit is phenomenal. It's been a consistently satisfying, nurturing, exhilarating space in my life for this is our 18th year, so for me it's been since 91. I think it's something Lenora said once, it's like, I'm not sure I have relationships that have lasted 18 years. but the thing that occurred to me is that the distinctions that I learned in the summit, I use everywhere in my life, and certainly have used them in our partnership and our investment partnership.
Oh, right.
Because I mean, like one of the first things that we do when we get together is do this process which we call clearing and sharing, And we usually have a conversation about what we have noticed about ourselves and money and investing or whatever the question is that particular month since we last got together. And this process of using the distinction noticing has been an extraordinary vehicle for us.
Got about a minute before the show ends, guys.
Yeah, for us to get present to where we are. So the summit and what it provides has showed up in all areas of my life, including investing.
Great. Excellent.
Very good.
This is an International Black Summit. This is the Wealth Club talk show. And this is Glenn Greenidge, coming to you live. We're part of the www.blacksummit.org. Thank you for joining us. All of those who are looking to get onto the third segment, I apologize. There was a mix-up in the time, and we'll get that straightened out, and then we'll send out flyers with the right time. So thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you to my special guests, Rosemary Blake and Bill Patterson. Thank you, Chuck, and Clara. And the next show will be the 27th, and it's going to be talking about accumulation, protection, distribution, and investment strategies. And what we'll have is a panel of financial advisors. Given some ideas about how to do that. So again, we've got about 45 seconds left. This is the Wealth Club, part of the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And we thank you again for joining us, and God bless. Good night. and we love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We love you, too.
Chuck, Glenn.
Thank you.
Fabulous show.
Thank
Great
you.
Comments, Rosemary, Bill. Love y'all.
Yeah. All right. Good night.
Thanks, Chuck, for joining us.
All right. You're welcome, and thank you.
You're welcome. Good night, all.